of heights to the depths of the sea.
But there's great responsibility and accountability in raising children in our conduct. And we can't force kids to hear us. We can't force them to listen to us. But we must be willing to speak the truth to them and be examples before them in all things.
As a fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. It is our responsibility to guard God's little ones. Our scripture says, "Do not despise one of these little ones." And the reason is because God's mind and eye are always on his little ones. We do well to treat them with love and respect. God protects the humble. We certainly do have angels watching over us and ministering to us, but there is no need to limit to only one specific guardian angel. We are given the responsibility by God to join with the guardian angels to protect his little ones. Now let's join Pastor Rob with today's message.
We have an ambassadorship, and we need to be ambassadors and examples, living lives above reproach, honoring Jesus Christ in all of our ways, and especially while they're young and growing physically and spiritually. We need to be watchful. We need to be watchmen on the wall for them. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. We're just going to look at the first verses 17 through 19. But I want you to see it yourself because this is an important verse in many contexts, honestly. But here's one. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. God says to Ezekiel, "Son of man," verse 17, "I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked," God says, "you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your own soul." So our role in the lives of children are great, because we are to tell them the truth. We are to be the watchmen on the wall. We need to be a voice for the voiceless, a voice for those who can't speak up, who don't have all the facts together. You and I, as adults, we understand what's happening in our culture. We understand the bigger picture. We need to be the watchman on the wall, more so today than ever before in our history. In Proverbs 22, verse 5, it says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse, but he who guards his soul will be far from them." And here's the exhortation. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it." And I love what Romans says. And this is a warning. And again, these verses, 6 through 9, are going to be a little sore for some of you, okay? But the end of the service, there's going to be more comfort, okay? But this first part is not going to be very comfortable at all. "For the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is not God's will that any should die. But he's God is patient toward us." It says in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, "not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance." And that includes being examples for kids, for each other, to be a witness not only to the unbeliever, but also to the believer. Let's lift each other up. Let's raise the bar from the gutter that is so easy to come upon the church, because we have this ability to bring things down to our level, and we got to keep it way high, folks. We're the church bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't afford to let our guard down, not now, not ever, but especially not now. Keep our guard lifted high in grace and in love. There's the proviso. It's easy to scream and whip people, but that's not what God is talking about. You can love somebody and tell them the truth. In fact, you're loving them when you are telling them the truth, even if it's something they don't want to hear. Even if you know it's going to harm them a little bit. If your heart is right, they will know that your heart is right. But if you come at them just to, you know, then they're going to know that too. And you deserve what you got coming to you. Right? But God would have us to live forever with Him and not experience eternal torment. Choose life. In the context of children, I'm going to say choose life. And yes, I'm talking about abortion as well. Choose life. Choose to give children life. Give them every opportunity to thrive in life. Yes, get them out of the womb first. Pray for them. Be the example for them. Give them life. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is another verse that you ought to know really well, or earmark it, because it's one you will reference time and time again. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. Let me just read it to you. God speaking to the children of Israel before they would cross over into the promised land. He says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." Notice the heart of God. It's always to bless, to give life, to bless. "But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you will surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go and possess." Now here it is, verse 19. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." Underline that verse if you don't. Put a big circle around it and underline it. Put a star and arrows pointing toward it. Choose life. And I mean that in every sense of the term. Choose life. And why? He gives us the answer. That both you and your descendants may live. Literally live in the physical and then live in the eternal. Choose life rather than death. And this is one of those verses we use to show that God indeed is pro-life. God is pro-life. He is not pro-choice. How can you call yourself a Christian and then be okay with abortion? You shouldn't. Now, I know, let me just share a proviso here, a caveat. There are some in this room who have had one. Maybe many, but I want to tell you this morning, if you're a believer, God has forgiven you, and that act is past. He'll never look upon it again if you've put it under the blood. Please understand that, because there's a lot of hurting women. I'm not here to hurt women. Far from it. Just the opposite, actually. I want to, hopefully, though, it'll set you free. So you don't need to feel guilty about your past sins, because a sin is a sin. But if you're here today and you're like, "Well, I'm a Christian and I'm pro-choice," I'm going to be like, it's not compatible. Because you are blatantly disregarding the word of God. You cannot do that and call yourself a Christian. I don't care what you say, how much money you give to the church, or who you know. It doesn't matter. You are in direct contradiction to Almighty God, and you need to change your ways. If you're going to call yourself a Christian. Because Christ is pro-life. Amen? Amen? Also, the commandment says, thou shalt not murder. What is abortion but murder? And I love what Paul tells Timothy. He says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Here it is. The word example is the Greek word typos, like a type. It's someone to be imitated. So let no one despise your youth, but be an example, be a typos to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and purity, and certainly to the unbeliever as well. Teach your kids and your grandkids the biblical truths. Teach them about Christ. Teach them morals. Be an example to them. And who cares what anybody thinks about you for doing it? Who cares what anyone may say? You teach them life. Amen? It's what we get. It's our great mandate from God. Teach them life. Give them life. Give them every opportunity to come to Christ and experience life. But notice in verse 6, Jesus says, it would be better for those who cause one of these little ones to me to sin. It would be better for him for a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, a millstone like this one in Capernaum, there's a bottom part and there's a top part. And the top part is usually what they would, a person would flip it up on its end and they would be attached to it. And either a person or a donkey would use that several hundred pound cement rolling piston, whatever you want to call it, to crush out grain or grapes. And it's several hundred pounds, just that one on top. And that's the one I believe Jesus is referring to. It'd be better for you, instead of, you know, if you're going to harm a child, it would be better for you to tie that top part. And I've seen this one personally at Capernaum. And that top part, you can barely budge. It's very, very heavy. But imagine tying that around your neck and throwing you and it overboard in the Marianas Trench. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's how serious he believes. And that's exactly what he's saying. Anybody here see The Sound of Freedom? The movie? Yeah. And it's been kind of, we've known it's been happening for a long time, but that movie just kind of blew it right out of the sky, right? Opened it right up again. But think of this kind of thing happening with the sex trafficking of children and in the passage we're in right now, and the culture that we're in right now. This kind of thing happening in our world, in our culture, is front and center with what Jesus is talking to us about in this passage. And those who are kidnapping young girls and boys and putting them into sex slavery need to repent as soon as possible. As soon as possible. If they do not repent, they will face the terror and the judgment of Almighty God, and it will not be a good day, folks. They will suffer an eternal judgment if they do not repent. And many of these kids are being forced into this illicit sex trade, sometimes 30 to 50 times per day, making their handlers very, very wealthy. Even women involved in this business, which is incredibly shocking because for the vast majority of women, they have a mother's instinct. They have a mother's nurturing heart. That's what I love about women. It's one of the differences between men and women. Women have this wonderful heart for kids to nurture and to love. It's unlike any other thing in the world. And thank God for women. Hallelujah. Seriously, to all you moms, hats off to you. What an amazing thing you are and what you've done and what you're doing. But there are women even involved in this thing, which blows my mind. But this ought not to surprise us, because what does 2 Timothy tell us? Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and yes, without natural affection. A woman has a natural affection to her children. So does a father, but even more so a woman. That bond between a mother and a child, the one who came from her, is so intense. You better get out of the way if you get in the way of their child. Mama bear will come after you and tear you to shreds. And hallelujah for that too. I know I'm intense this morning. It's a passionate thing for me. But I believe that what we're talking about in this passage is exactly what, it's the elephant in the room. and it needs to be addressed. We need to speak of it, even though it's hard to hear. But much of this stuff is happening right here in the United States, a multi-billion dollar industry. But concerning offending children, I think of those in the LGBTQ plus community. Oh my God, is he mentioning that? Yes, I am. They don't understand the judgment they are bringing upon themselves, against themselves, by indoctrinating and performing sexually explicit drag shows in front of kids. If adults want to do this twisted, perverse thing, then they can do that, but don't get in the way of the kids. Leave the kids out of it. Stay away from the kids. In fact, in June, in New York City, I've got the video of this. I'm not going to play it because some of these people are naked. But there was a drag parade in New York City in June, and they quoted chanting this, and I'm going to quote them directly. And I've heard this, and I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm telling you the truth. They said, "We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children." That's the truth, folks. And that hurts. It's hard to hear. But there are those in the medical community who don't know the judgment that they are bringing upon themselves by willfully supporting and performing these sex change surgery on minors, not even caring what the parents think, somehow believing arrogantly that they are untouchable from the law, but they're going to be held accountable by God. Doctors, pediatricians, school counselors, teachers, superintendents, principals of schools, they don't know the judgment they are bringing on themselves by allowing and encouraging children who feel they may be a member of the opposite sex to take puberty blockers and other hormonal injections without the knowledge of their parents. It's happening. They don't know the judgment that they are bringing against themselves by aiding and abetting minors in aberrant sexual behavior and removing every form of common sense decency from their sphere of influence, removing the Word of God, removing the Bible, any references to the Bible, and exchanging it for their radical Marxist agenda. And folks, that is truth, and that's happening right now, front and center in our community. And I'm just going to say it like it is, because it's truth. And then to make matters worse, they continue teaching the theory of evolution, which is not a good theory at all. It doesn't even stand up to the laws of scientific method. It doesn't. And yet they spend millions and billions of your tax dollars indoctrinating kids. All of us have been indoctrinated, and thank God we came out of it and got saved. But there are many, many hundreds of thousands and millions more kids who are being brainwashed in a lie, and they are being told this stuff. Woe to them. If they do not repent, they will face the severity of Almighty God. They've stumbled and hardened millions of children in this country. And many authorities in the lives of these kids have taught them the ways of hell. And these children, unfortunately, they don't know any better because they believe the adult. They believe the authority. They believe the principal. They believe the teacher. They believe the highest office in the land. They believe, and so therefore they grab a hold of it and they embrace it and they become indoctrinated, and then they continue to propagate that indoctrination. It is a religion, make no mistake, and that is being promoted in the public schools, and the devil is laughing. This is what Jesus is talking about. If you offend any one of these kids, it would be better for them if a millstone were hung about their neck and they were drowned in the midst of the sea. I've got videos of mothers going toe-to-toe with school board members concerning their kids. Mama Bear is not happy. I also have videos of fathers taking some of these school board members to tax over homosexual pornographic books that are readily available on reading lists for kids to read. And some of the stuff, if I were to show them here, I couldn't even show them to you. I wouldn't show them to you. And these things are so evil that when they start to read them in front of the school board at school board meetings, the school board shuts them down and says, "We can't hear any more of this. We don't want to hear any more of this." Hypocrites. Am I mad? Yes. I am. And I don't think God is happy either. Does he love the people? Yes, he does. Does he like what they're doing? No. And is he going to hold them accountable? Yes. If they don't repent, they are going to go through some pretty bad stuff. And now these parents are labeled domestic terrorists because they're speaking out about their children. Don't worry, it's going to get better, folks, okay? Just hang in there. Because we got verses 9 through, and we're coming upon it. But all the way up, you know, shame on them. Shame on these people. Turn from what you're doing. For those who are involved in this, who may be listening to this, turn from what you're doing and spare yourself the judgment of Almighty God. Jesus warns of the severity of the judgment. Should you continue these crimes against children, it would be better for them if a millstone were tied around their neck and they were drowned in the depths of the sea. They need to repent. That's all I got to say about that. Verse 7, woe to the world because of offenses, Jesus says. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. There will be an accounting for those who offend. And Jesus said a very similar thing in the upper room when he was talking about Judas. He said, the Son of Man goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better, it would have been good for that man if he had not even been born. It's a similar kind of concept. Verse 8, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. And it is better for you to enter life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. In Mark's gospel, in the parallel account of this, it says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Yes, Jesus is quoting here from the very last verse of Isaiah's book. The very last verse has this thing in here. Notice that it's everlasting fire. It's not, you know, it's not that hell is not real. Aren't you glad you came this morning to hear about hell? And judgment. We got to talk about it. Many people think hell's not real, but it is. It's very real. Who are you going to believe? Jesus spoke of hell more than anybody else. Are you going to believe him, or are you going to believe Rob Bell, who's the pastor in a church in Granville, Michigan, Mars Hill Church? Are you going to believe him? Hell doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. No, it exists. How can you read the Bible and not tell me that hell doesn't exist? Verse 9, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Jesus, of course, here is not proposing that you start mutilating yourself, folks. There have been people who have done that. They've had a problem with stealing or whatever, and they would just chop off their hand. But this stuff is still in the heart. Sin is in the heart. The hands and the feet are just the vehicles to carry out whatever's already in the heart, right? And Jesus has been talking about this through the Gospels, hasn't he? Especially this one, that it's really more internal. What's going on inside? The externals, they're a problem, but it's really what's within. Because what's from within, that's what's causing these things to happen. So what does this mean when he speaks like this? It means that we should take sin that seriously. That if for some reason cutting off our hands or our feet, if it was able to keep us from sinning and keep us out of hell, then it would be worth doing. That's how serious sin is. That's how serious we need to take it. We can't play with it. Like that child who, you know, you tell the parents tell the son or the daughter, now don't touch the glowing circle on the stove. And a child will get right up next to it and wait for the mom to look away and that's the way we are.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.